You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hand to God.
Oh, boy.
By the way, this song was banned from radio in 1987 when it first came out.
Really? Why? Mm-hmm.
A lot of controversy over this and also the music video. And I remember back when MTV had music and videos and existed, they made the announcement in this very cryptic way where they said, "We have decided we will show the video." Mm-hmm. Well, of course they did. Everyone wanted to see it.
And number one hit.
The most salacious thing in that video was George Michael taking a tube of lipstick and writing monogamy on a woman's thigh.
Yep. Hand to God, that was the most salacious thing?
Hand to God, that was the most salacious thing.
What about other hand to God?
We're going to get to that.
We don't have another hand.
Simpler times.
Yeah. Very rarely, well, maybe three times a month, do I text Scott and then he doesn't reply. So I FaceTime him because I want to see his reaction about one of the topics that I want to talk about on the show. And he was busy. He finally got back to me and I said, "I need you to call me so I can explain to you what happened to this woman who was pulled over by a highway patrolman in Florida." And Sam played a little bit of the clip at the top of the show, but we're going to break it down for you first. We're going to break down a little bit of a miscommunication, if you will,
after
the highway patrolman really stepped in it in a way that I think might be the funniest damn thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So this woman gets pulled over. I don't even know why. But one of the, like we have here, the secondary rule that they can pull you over. And then if you're on your cell phone in some states, they can pull you over for that.
They're doing a distracted driving enforcement campaign. That's what led her to be pulled over.
So he pulls her over and says very clearly several times, "I saw you with your phone in your right hand." And you will see the woman. You don't see her hands. You just see her face through his body camera. The woman says, "I did not have my phone in my right hand." And the trooper replies, "Yes, you did." And she says, "I did not." Why, Scott, was it not possible for the woman to have her phone in her right hand?
Because she didn't have one. And I'm not talking about a phone. She didn't have a right hand.
Hello, Rodriguez Ali with the Bumpers County Sheriff's Office. Recently, while you're being pulled over in the city of Lake Worth today, we're doing an operation for distracted driving. You drove past me holding the phone with your right hand, manipulating that phone.
Okay, stop it right there. You drove past me holding your phone in your right hand. Then listen to her response.
I mean, I saw you with the phone in your hand.
Obviously not. So you want to just call this a day?
Or? I don't want to call it a day. You had a hand manipulating.
You just said my right hand.
Well, I thought I saw you with your right hand.
Okay, stop it there, Sam.
She doesn't have a right hand.
When he says, "I saw you holding your phone in your right hand," she holds up her stump. She is an amputee about mid, below the elbow.
Yeah, just below the elbow.
She holds it up. He then doubles down and says, "I saw you with holding your phone in your right hand." And you hear her say, "My right hand?"
And each time she mentions her right hand, she raises her hand into the air.
Right. The right hand. I saw you manipulate.
So you didn't.
With the right hand, perhaps not, right?
But I saw you didn't see me with my right hand.
Okay, so you saw. Are you
saying that you saw me with my right hand?
I know what I just said. I'm asking you now. Did you have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
You did not have your phone in your hand?
I did not.
Hand to God, you did not have your phone in your hand.
Hand to God.
Stop it there. Then he says, "Hand to God. Hand to God, you did not have your phone in your hand." And she holds up her stump again and says, "Hand to God." And then he says, "The other hand to God?"
Traditionally, hand to God would involve the right hand. So
the other hand to God, you don't have one hand.
Hand to God.
Cool. You have your driver's license, registration,
and insurance with you.
Cool.
Then he still goes for the driver's license and registration.
Now, Dan, you have a friend. We all friends in law enforcement. You spoke to one of your friends who happens to work for a highway patrol about this exchange.
And he said, "Yeah, dude, just take the loss and move on."
Take the loss.
Now, this was a Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputy, not a highway patrolman. This was a local sheriff's deputy down there in Florida.
Can I ask you, we have so many law enforcement officers that listen to this program. Hand to God.
Which hand?
I know so many of you. I call you my friends. And most police officers have an amazing sense of humor. They mm-hmm. have to deal with the stuff that they see every day.
Sure.
At the point that she holds up her right appendage, why not just burst out laughing and go, oh my God, I am so sorry. Clearly, you could not have had your phone in your right hand. He argues with her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And to God.
Okay.
And apparently, she was charged.
Hand to God.
Police today have dropped the charges against a Florida woman who went viral for being accused of holding her phone in her right hand after it emerged that she does not have a right hand. 36-year-old Kathleen Thomas, born with a limb difference, was pulled over.
Oh, so she was born this
on
way.
Suspicion of distracted driving and was slapped with a traffic citation. She was due in court for this matter.
So even after the exchange,
yes!
after he saw that, no, she did not have a right hand, he still filed the paperwork to have her charged.
Play the entire thing again. At the very beginning, Sam, when she shows, she waves her appendage, she goes, so obviously not. We just want to call this a day.
Hello, ma'am. Hey, good morning. I'm Deputy Gonzalez with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Recently, why you're being pulled over in the city of Lake Worth today. We're doing an operation for distracted driving. You drove past me holding the phone with your right hand, manipulating that phone. I mean, I saw you
so
with the phone in your hand.
Obviously not. So you want to just call this a day? Or?
I don't want to call it a day. You had a hand up manipulating
the phone.
You
just said my right hand.
Well, I thought I saw you with your right hand.
You had a hand up.
The right hand. I saw you manipulate.
So you didn't.
With the right hand, perhaps not, right?
But I saw you. You didn't see me with my right hand.
Okay, so are you
saying that you saw me with my right hand?
I know what I just said. I'm asking you now. Did you have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
You did not have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
Hand to God, you did not have phone on your hand.
Hand to God.
The other hand to God, you don't have phone on your hand.
Hand to God.
Cool. You have your driver's license, registration,
and insurance with you.
Why not just admit I made a mistake? I'm profiling you for some reason.
Stop with the hand to God.
Stop talking about hands.
You could have said hand to God.
Now, may I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Yes.
We do have a
story. She was faking her amputee status.
No. We do have a story in the stack recently involving a young man who happens to be a cornhole champion.
Oh, that guy.
Who happens to be a quad amputee.
Mm-hmm. Who's accused of murdering someone.
The ability with his not hands mm-hmm. to allegedly shoot and kill and drive a Tesla, his friend in the passenger seat. So there is a possibility that she has some appendage mobility in her not right hand.
Right.
And
Sam,
maybe she was holding the phone and
really?
This was just a horrible misunderstanding.
No,
I don't know.
I don't know. We just chalk this up as a loss is what we do. I just think you say, you know what?
Hand to God.
We're going to let this go.
The text line is on fire. Let me read three.
Please.
If I may. From 0701. My response to hand to God would have been, he's already got it.
Also from the text line. Of course, this was in Palm Beach.
Okay.
Also from the text line, did he slap her with a citation?
Okay. Okay. You guys are on fire today. Charges have been dropped.
As they should. Yeah. Yep. Did they hand down a dismissal?
No, they handed it up, Scott.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well, had they taken this to a grand jury, they may have handed up an indictment. You got to hand it to him. He stuck to his guns.
Yeah, he did. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Yes, please. So we have had a smattering of stories locally, I'd say in the past 5 months, 4 months. And you've all seen the headlines, whether it's Kansas City Star or The Pitch or the all the television stations, about the data centers mm-hmm. and residents of all kinds of communities around us saying, now, wait a minute, where is this going in? What are we doing? What is the deal with the data center?
Nobody wants a data center near where they live.
Listen to this story, and I agree with you, from the New York Times. Because one of the things I did not realize when we're talking about a data center is that if someone decides that they're going to plop this down in your backyard, the size and the scope, I don't even know that we know. So I'm going to read some of this story from the New York Times. And then I want to bring Sam in because he did a story on it in the morning news this morning locally about all of these data centers looking for land to plop down, right? And here's the story. You cannot stop this data center, a mom was told. Hold my beer. Okay. Cassie Solberg has concerns about a proposed complex the size of 3,800 football fields.
Oh my.
Near her home. Trust us, the developer says. She is 43-year-old Cassie Solberg, and she lives in Broadview, Montana, which you would think is about the quietest place and serene place you could plant your stakes.
Probably right out of the TV show Yellowstone.
Which she did. She has become a one-woman wrecking ball against this data center that she says they quietly, the city council, their little town council, quietly tried to pass without asking for
public comment.
So she went to one of these meetings, said, has anyone, do you have information about this, about the health hazard, about what this means for the animals? The mayor gruffly turned down her request to host a public forum about it, saying, quote, property is outside of the town limits. It doesn't affect us. She yells back, it affects your residents, saying it will destroy the area's traditions of farming and ranching that have endured for generations. One of only two members of the public at the meeting last month, she asked, has anyone on the town council signed a non-disclosure agreement with the developer that would keep you silent about the project? And the mayor replied, we are not obligated to answer that question.
Yes, you are.
She is trying to stop the data center. She says, I think they count on us being dumb country people and us not pushing back. By the time that you figure out what these companies are planning to do, they've got it built already. Sam.
So we need data centers if we wish to continue, which, by the way, I'm going to preface this with I'm the biggest anti-data center guy out there. Okay. But I recently talked to Burton Kelso. He's the expert on cybersecurity and technology. And he told me that we need data centers if we would like to continue living in the modern age. We want to pull out our smartphone. We want to save things to the cloud. We want to be able to Google things and get instantaneous results. All of that requires data centers.
Does anybody work in a data center, or is it just like
buildings,
a big building that has a bunch of stacks of electrical
servers?
Servers, yeah. Thank you. And it just collects data?
For the most part, no. Like there's not a front desk guy. There will be technicians that have to go in and repair some of the servers, replace the servers, mm-hmm. things like that, because these things do wear out over time
there's
and will
no,
need to be
there's
replaced.
There's no company kitchen.
Probably not. I would guess not. Thousands of jobs when you build them, but after that, the only real incentive is taxes that they're having to pay because of revenue that they're generating from that data center. Now, the important thing to note is that there are two kinds of data centers. So I can't get a finite number on it, but I've seen anywhere from 75 to 98% of all data centers currently in operation are not for AI. They're just regular, plain old data centers. When you save something to your Google
that
Drive,
that we need for our existing thirst for tech,
it goes to some server somewhere. You know, previously, we would have to have some massive hard drive on our personal computer at home, and any files that we wanted to save went directly to that hard drive. Now everything is cloud-based, and so that's why there's such an influx of these data centers. That's why you see 9 proposals in the metro.
There's 9?
I believe it's 9.
9 proposals. No one is going to want this in their backyard. Oh, and by the way,
now, let me get to that real quick before you continue
on. Yeah.
This is not a Walmart. You know, most people would
say, don't want that either.
I don't want a Walmart in my neighborhood because it's low rent.
3,800 football fields.
Okay, I understand. But when people say, you know, I don't want a Walmart in my neighborhood, it's because, you know, Walmart is kind of perceived by some as low rent. There's going to be a million people driving through your neighborhood. If nobody works in these buildings, or very few people do, what's the why is there so much opposition?
I'm going to tell you, data centers need rivers and lakes of water.
Yes.
In some cases, more water than a small city needs because the servers create intense heat and require continuous cooling. This would be disastrous, she says, for Broadview, Montana. Water is precious there. Many residents already struggle with low water flow. They don't do laundry and shower at the same time. So enter in this data center. There's no way it's not going to be disruptive for the people who live nearby. No way. And where's the water all come from, Sam?
So now we go down the rabbit hole of all of the concerns from the two different types of data centers. If it's a run-of-the-mill cloud storage data center, most of those are intercooled, meaning they have a system of water. They might pull, I don't know, 100 gallons of water one time, and then that same water is used to cool those systems over and over again. It's not an open flow cooling system. Okay. Those are not the resource draw that everybody should be concerned about. The ones that everybody should be concerned about, it sounds like this one out in Montana, is one of the hyper data centers. Those are the ones for AI. So they use anywhere from double to 10 times the amount of power per stack in this data center to run. The more power, the more water you need to cool. The inner cooling systems don't provide enough cooling for these hyper data centers because they're running on so much heat. And so that's why they're pulling from the water, the rivers, things like
that.
And
Scott, what the cities are saying is, oh my gosh, this is going to bring so many jobs in for the construction.
Yeah, for a year.
Yeah, for a year while they're erecting this thing. Mm-hmm. So then the question becomes, and we will take your calls on this, 586-7798, if you're involved in any one of the nine sites, you're starting to see signs all over town that say the circle with the slash through it, no data centers. This is why. And has anyone even thought, we can build all of these data centers. Do we have the water to support it? There ain't going to be one in Utah or Nevada or Arizona. Where would the water come from?
Why not build it next to an ocean? Can you not use salt water?
So they're currently looking at other options like floating data centers. So they want to build effectively what looks like a giant cone with a bulb on top. All you would see on top of the water is that bulb, kind of like a buoy. And down below it would be an iceberg that's basically a data center, and that would use water from the ocean to cool it, but they can't put salt water into those interlocked cooling systems because it would break down all of the plastic. They're also looking at data centers in space. They're also looking at putting data centers in caves underground.
If you think Yellowstone, if you saw this beautiful, beautiful space where this woman lives— I mean, it is just
is beautiful.
There is no light noise. It is just horses, chickens, her farm that's been in her family.
And grass.
And then, you know, a smattering of other residents around town. There's not many. There's, I think, one gas station or not even a grocery store. What do you call it? Like a place where you can stop and get milk.
Store.
That's it.
Dollar General.
So the data centers are saying, boy, this looks good. There's nobody out here. No, this isn't going to bother anybody.
Well, for the rural data centers, I will take DeSoto as my example.
And there is a proposal, if it hasn't already been approved, to build a data center out in DeSoto.
Not even talking about the data center. I'm talking about the Panasonic plant that everybody was so happy to get.
Yep.
Mary Beth's aunt and uncle bought a house on top of a hill in DeSoto. All you could see as far as the eye could see was rolling plains. You couldn't even see a street light. Wow. Now, at night, their house, the west side of their house, glows 24 hours a day.
Because of the Panasonic.
Because of the Panasonic plant. Their property tax went up because of the Panasonic plant.
Yep.
Their electricity costs went up because of the Panasonic plant.
Phones are already ringing. How do you stop this? And what is the solution? Because...
And what's in it for a city? You get a year's worth of really good jobs.
Some of them are also giving away tax breaks for this.
Yeah, you get a year's worth of really good jobs, and then you get nothing other than property taxes.
Because it's not going to bring in continuous income. There's no workers there.
Property taxes, yes. But you're not 100,000 people aren't moving to town.
So where do we put it? If you aren't going to put it in a neighborhood, which obviously you cannot, where does it go?
You know, there was talk that when the Truman Sports Complex is demolished,
yep.
if they tear down Arrowhead and Kauffman both, that the Truman Sports Complex would turn into a data center.
Basically, any large piece of land that a municipality or any government body can eminent domain will become a data center in the next 5 to 10 years.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's get to Al in Brookside, 913-586-7798. Hi, Al.
Hi.
Hi.
On the water and data centers, my memory may be foggy, but I think I remember years ago when I was a kid when that is how they cooled air conditioning equipment for stores and so on. It was before a lot of people had air conditioners in their houses other than window units. And they said, you know, the government said, we can't supply that much water. So air conditioning industry, you're going to have to figure out another way to cool your equipment at stores and that kind of thing. And apparently they did. So if my memory is correct, why can't they figure out a way to do it for the data center?
It's a good question, Al. I don't know. You would think if there was a way to do it, these companies would be like, we're on it.
If the whole point is you have to keep the data center cool, why not build them in Alaska?
I think it's the wiring that overheats. So you can put it in a cold climate, but it would still... It's like if you turned on a stove in Alaska, the stove is still going to be hot.
Okay.
Plus the overall climate would be far too cold for those little microchips to survive.
Where were data centers 10 years ago?
Oh, they've been around forever. There's just such an influx of them right now, large in part because of AI. And everybody is transitioning into cloud-based data. So, I mean, do you ever save anything directly to your computer anymore?
No.
Most people don't. Most people use Apple or Google or any of the other cloud devices, Dropbox. There are already 30 active data centers in the Kansas City metro.
30.
Really?
Yep.
Where are they?
I can look it up. All over.
No, that's not necessary.
But yeah, I think it's there's 9 more proposals, but there's already 30.
Okay. Douglas in Olathe. Douglas, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate your show.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Little different angle on this. I've been a network engineer for 27 years, and so I've really seen the progression of data center growth, of how these types of buildings are built, and how the infrastructure is built inside. The number one thing to consider is that infrastructure does not make money. In fact, it spends money. So these are, if you can think of them as economic placeholders for all the money that other companies are making, either through their, you know, their website, e-commerce, that kind of thing, we're the back end of it. But I'm a Cisco expert. I've built data centers for the last 20 years, and I actually applied for the Panasonic job 6 times. The problem was it was an offshore company that was the recruiting hiring, guaranteeing me an interview at Panasonic for their opening at network architect, and not one of them materialized. So not only is this affecting the local people there, but I'm a citizen of Olathe, so it'd be a great commute for me to come over there. But this is global impact in terms of how AI has impacted infrastructure. So it's removed a lot of the human component, if you will, and I'm a direct result of that. I got laid off from my last data center job and have been looking for 2 years.
But what would be in it, Douglas, for a city to have a data center in their city if there are no jobs other than the initial construction and it is basically just a holding facility for data and information? Where's the money? What's in it for a city to allow this?
There's no upside. Other than there is no upside whatsoever to the citizens there. Now, the government may be benefiting enormously from this, and so their coffers may be filled, but there's no incentive for someone that lives, for example, in DeSoto for a new data center. I understand this woman's plight up in Minnesota completely, and I'm really proud of her for actually speaking up and letting her voice be known. More people need to do that.
You know, what's
incentive.
What's sad, Douglas, is if you read this story, she's there aren't many people that live in this place in Montana, but she is getting just crickets from the elected leaders. They don't want to talk about it.
Why?
They don't want her there. She goes to every single meeting and says, I'm still here. They want protections for their cattle. They want a buffer zone away from the properties. Mm-hmm. You know, the city just went full steam ahead. We're going to sign this deal. And like she said, the residents were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is happening?
Right.
And how many times do you drive around wherever you're listening, wherever you live? How many times are you driving around town and you see like there wasn't a building there last week and now there is? And you go, well, when did that go in? Mm-hmm. That's most of us, right? We're not all, and God knows the news doesn't have the staffing to cover every city council meeting in every town anymore. I wish to God we did, but we don't.
So there's basically no incentive. There's negative environmental impacts.
So then what's the point?
And they're building them like crazy without asking for voter approval in many cases.
Which they don't have to.
So why?
Kickbacks?
I wasn't going to say it.
Well, there has to be something in it for them. Because as a citizen of that city, you would theoretically, let's take this Montana city. Let's say there's 800 people that live there.
Okay.
This would affect you because you live there.
Right.
So you do have an interest in saying, let's make sure we do this correctly.
So for example, not far from my home, they just opened a brand new Westlake Ace Hardware store.
Love it.
Okay. And I would prefer on that sleepy little road that I live nearby that they don't keep adding more and more businesses because it only brings more and more traffic.
Yeah.
But with the hardware store, at least we're bringing in sales taxes to the city. We're bringing in jobs, decent paying jobs, I'm assuming. And so there is a benefit to the city. With a data center,
there's a benefit up front with the construction.
For a year.
And then that's it.
Bingo.
So why allow it?
Follow the money.
Why allow it?
Follow the money.
Mm-hmm. Is it for who or for whom?
For whom?
If it follows a preposition, it's whom.
For whom?
I've been rewatching Ted Lasso.
The bell tolls.
And one of the greatest lines in there is that you know, they're walking out of past Ted's apartment and he goes, you never finished that joke you told me last night. And he goes, I don't remember the joke. What does a British owl say?
Whom?
Very good.
I don't remember that scene, but that's
very
funny.
Good.
I'm going to read you the headline. I don't need to read you the story because it talks about a specific person by the name of Madison Lovell, who's 40 years old, lives in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But tell me how you would handle this. Her father hoarded.
Yep.
When he died, she inherited the house.
Have you seen the photos?
No, I have not.
She has, I think, 800,000 followers on Instagram. And when her dad passed, she knew there was an issue inside the house.
Yeah.
Instead of hiding in the shame and in the grief and the emotions that all of those things bring, she started chronicling his condo the very beginning where she walks in. I think she's 75% done with the cleanup now, Scott.
Mm-hmm. And she's very entertaining.
But
what a mess.
You know, we often talk about hoarders who are still with us. That's always through the lens that we sort of have had that discussion in that space. And how do we get them help? And how do we ensure that they don't re-hoard? And it's all mental health and all of those things. Sure. We've never talked about it with respect to those left behind and Family members know when this is going on. You just don't talk about it. People will tell you this. She says that. We knew we were not allowed to go into his house. Well, why would that be?
Because he was a hoarder.
We knew that those tendencies were there. And we knew he would not want us going in and organizing things and throwing stuff out. But when you are the one left with that cleanup. Oh.
What do you do?
Do you know how she really found out? He had a stroke, I believe, and was upstairs. And he could not get down. And she said, I'm calling 911. And she said, I was begged. He begged me not to call for authorities.
He's in the middle of a stroke.
He didn't want anyone seeing the inside of that house.
He was embarrassed.
Really?
And so as far as like, you know, I think the Hoarders show is so exploitative. I really
do.
Well,
just like my 600-pound life.
Yeah. In the beginning, it was like, oh, look at that. And they're going to help these people. Mm-hmm, so much. I do think Madison Lovell is helping people because she's talking about it. And people are coming forward saying, this happened to us too.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So we told you guys yesterday that it turns out Brian Hooker, whose wife was
fell off the boat.
Yeah. It turns out he had this GPS thing on his boat, this heat thermal thing, that if someone fell overboard, and he used to brag about it, the boat would be able to do the heat sensory seeking thing, and you could find that person. And he was like, it's a $33,000 system added to the boat.
Why would you need that on a dinghy?
It was on his actual sailboat. Oh, yeah. And authorities are saying he did not use that camera to look for her after she, quote, fell overboard and went missing. Today, authorities are saying they now have GPS data that is contradicting his account of what happened. And I'm not a boat person, but I knew it. You know those boats are so technical, Sam. You know they've got stuff on those boats that will show you your location, how deep the water is. The U.S. Coast Guard confirmed.
Now, they were on a dinghy when she fell over on the way to the sailboat.
And if you believe that, I've got some swampland to sell you in Alaska.
Yeah. Okay.
The U.S. Coast Guard confirmed the news. It is conducting a new search after GPS data contradicts his account of her disappearance.
That GPS data probably from his cell phone that was on his person.
Yep.
If you remember correctly, he claimed there was no cell service, so he could not call for help.
His devices showed his movements at sea, contradicting what he told investigators.
Immediately after this story broke, they said, I traverse those waters all the time. There's perfect cell service.
Lynette Hooker has been missing since April 4th. U.S. investigators this week have also asked permission to send a dive team to the Bahamas to search in the new region. And they are saying they're sending this dive team to a region they had never looked in before because he said it happened over here.
Why is the Bahamian government not getting involved and sending? You think they don't have their own dive teams?
I know, but I think the Coast Guard is saying we're going to take this from here.
On your territory?
Well,
probably with their permission, yeah. I mean, it doesn't exactly look good for them either.
The United States has zero jurisdiction over anything that happens in the Bahamas. It's not like sending the Coast Guard down there is going to bring charges here in the United States.
Right, but he's back stateside now, and you could arrest him here, could you not?
You could not.
For obstruction?
He hasn't obstructed anything.
Oh, the hell he hasn't. They could get him on something federally here.
The United States doesn't even have the authority to launch an investigation.
That's a fair point. I didn't think about that.
So when Natalie Holloway went missing
In Aruba,
you're saying there was no charges to be brought against that now double murderer here?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I wonder if maritime law would disagree with you, though, Scott, because it is a U.S. licensed vessel.
Bingo. I bet you're right.
In a foreign country.
But for example,
what good would it be for the Bahamas government to say, yeah, we know he killed her, but we're not going to do anything.
Well, I don't think there's any good that comes out of it. What I'm saying is I don't understand on what grounds or authority, and I'm not defending Brian Hooker, don't get me wrong, on what grounds the United States government thinks that they have the authority or the right to even begin investigating him for his
potential crime. The United States does have jurisdiction to investigate and prosecute as the crime occurred on a U.S. flagged vessel. That is why the U.S. Coast Guard and the FBI are now actively handling the ongoing criminal investigation into her disappearance.
If she disappeared, she disappeared in the waters of the Bahamas.
Doesn't matter. That's the crime. It was on a U.S. flagged vessel. Guilty!
Okay. Bye. Allegedly.
18 years old and you go on a cruise to the Bahamas. Yeah. In the Bahamas, you can drink at 18.
Yeah.
Even though Carnival is owned by the U.S., so they do not allow you to drink, even though technically in the jurisdiction that you're in, you would be allowed. You get off the boat, you can drink. You get back on the boat,
you cannot.
Welcome back to America.
And by the
you
way,
can't
I
drink.
Have an early grievance because there was a little bit of an update in the Nancy Guthrie murder today where they are saying they are close. They are now using the genealogy technique at the FBI.
Okay.
That they got that tiny bit of DNA that doesn't match anyone, and it's a male. Yeah. They are now using genealogy database stuff to figure out where that comes back to. All of the headlines I read today about that said her alleged abduction. This is, you know, probably a little nitpicky. We don't need to use the word alleged. She's gone. They have surveillance video of a masked man outside of her house at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
She's never been seen since. There's blood outside the house. Drop the alleged.
That was February 28th.
So sad.
We don't know for certain she was abducted.
I just hope, you guys, hope beyond hope.
Cut her hand and wandered off. I don't know.
Yeah, just decided to go on a hike for 8 months. You just have to hope that this DNA does not come back to a friend of a friend who was in the house a year ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right. 913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Michael Mackey will be swinging by, a special guest on the show. And we have another special guest, two actually, coming in at 3:15 tomorrow afternoon. We'll tell you about that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.